morning to you. This side started clapping, so I thought, oh man, they're going to go into revival or something over here. This started kind of picking up, and then it just went boom. Because the rest of y'all just knew, nah, yeah. It's okay, it's all right. I don't know about you, but I am so ready for spring. Every sunny day makes me happy. It makes me happy. Well, today I want to share some things with you in the past that said, hey, there's some messages that we need to do that are a little deeper than others. And I want to do one of those today. It's more of an introduction, but I want to talk to you about sound doctrine today. I want to talk to you about biblical truths. So they are very, very important. And we're going to talk about some of the things that deal with that. But doctrine is very, very important. What you believe affects how you live. Yeah? Affects how you live. Affects on what you do. I've been to many different churches, and there's been some differences in some things. And you got to remember, some things are preference. I used to wear a suit all the time. Every Sunday when I first started, I'd wear a suit all the time. And then I moved to sports jackets, and then I moved to jeans, I guess, because that's what you guys wear. If you guys wore suits, I'd be right back in suits. You know, when I go to conventions or whatever, depends on what I see what's happening there. That's a preference. That's not a doctrine, but that's a preference. You want to wear jeans, or you want to wear a suit, whatever you want to, whatever it is, but that's not doctrine. But let me tell you, some people do argue about those things. They get into a place, I'll never go to, I won't go to a church unless the pastor's wears a suit, or a three-piece suit, or whatever. And other people say, well, I'm not going to go to church unless I can be myself. And I can bring in my coffee, or I can wear this or that. I can bring myself or whatever. You know, that's just as bad. Okay? I do believe in reverence to the Lord's house. I believe that we do slack sometimes in giving reverence to God here in how we treat His house and how we do. I always tell people this. If you were going out on a date, why would you not be even dressed at least like that on Sunday mornings? Going to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you got a date and you make yourself look real good, I think the Lord wants us to do our best as well. But again, that is preference. I just want to read a couple of things. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be over and we're going to be in a few different places. But I want you to just turn over to 1 Timothy 4, and we're going to be in some other places. But I just want to remind you that biblical doctrine is what the Bible states, confirms, and informs, instructs, and explains what the Bible says is truth. That's how what we do. What we believe the Bible is saying, that it is the truth. Without sound doctrine, the church is in trouble. The church is in trouble. I can go to another church and I can worship with them, and their doctrine may not be quite, some might not be all the same, but Jesus needs to be, and we're going to get into that, needs to be who He says He is. We're gonna get into that. But and there is biblical truths, and they're very, very important. They're very, very important. Today we're in a time since COVID happened. COVID did a lot more than what the sickness did. I think the enemy really jumped on it, really used it to an advantage. But right now, if you're in a denomination, you're kind of in the minor. People kind of look down upon denominations a little bit. But we are Southern Baptists, but guess what that is? That's by choice. That's by preference. I'm going to say it this way. And to be a Southern Baptist doesn't mean you have to believe in every single one of those pieces. Baptist faith and message, which is our doctrine list. I think there's 18 on the list, and I'm just going to go down the list. I'm going to read them very quickly, but it'll tell you what the doctrine is on the Word of God, God the Father, the Creator, God Jesus, God man, and the Holy Spirit, salvation, God's grace, the church, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Day, the kingdom of God, last things, evangelism and missions, education, stewardship, Christian social order, peace and war, religious liberty, and the family. Now, if I was to go through all of those today, it'd be forever, because it does go into some deep things. Now, here's the problem. We get to a place where we go, all I want to do is hear about Jesus and salvation. And we never grow up in the Word of God. We get that salvation piece. We understand that we need Jesus Christ. We understand that we're lost, but we can't get any deeper in that, because, and we just stay in that one, we stay in that realm of being babies in Christ. And I'm going to tell you, there is a danger in a 20-year-old baby in Christ. I'm not talking about 20, physically 20. I'm talking about being a Christian for 20 years, staying a baby in Christ. And Paul talks about that. You should be mature, but we're still babies many times, as he was writing. And so we have to grow in that. Now, I also want to, this is why this is an introduction. It's a little tougher to I'll get into it. I just want to share a few things. You have to be careful, too. I was just reading something earlier this morning. You know, sometimes you pick your phone up when you're waking up. You get your eyes going. That's what we do. Some of us, I don't know. Am I the only one does that? I'm sure I'm not. But anyway, I was reading something this morning, and I just seen some pastors hacking on each other already this morning. I don't think God wants that. We sometimes have to disagree. Sometimes we disagree, but we need to do it in a loving way. When you think everything's got to be your way or the highway, you're a very prideful person. If you think you got it all down, listen, I've talked to some very, very smart biblical individuals, and there's some questions that it's like, I don't know the answer. When someone tells you they know the answer to every question that someone has for the Bible, I steer away from them. I steer away from them. Because even Scripture even says that some things are just meant for God. There's mysteries that just only God knows. So there are some biblical doctrines and there are some biblical truths. I'm not going to get all up into these individually, but I do want to read something though before we go there. I just want to remind you, in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 it says, "For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." I want to remind you that God's word, if you can't get the first one right, God's word, that is infallible. Listen, there's people that believe they're Christians, but they believe that the God's word is not, that is not, it's not infallible. It has errors in it. I'm going to tell you, I'm a pastor, been preaching for 20 years now, I think. Yeah, 20-some years. I'm going to tell you, I believe the Word of God. And I'm going to believe every word it says. I'm not going to pick and choose what I like and what I don't like and say, I'm going to believe this, but I'm not going to believe that. If you can't get the foundation that the Word of God is true, then you're standing on the wrong foundation. I'm just going to tell you, because you know people who believe that it has errors in it. They struggle with the creation, they struggle with the flood, they struggle with the virgin birth, they struggle with all the key things of God's word. So you need to figure out right now: do you believe in God's word? You believe it is. Now we have different versions. We have different versions. You can be a King James person. King James, and then there's this, be careful of your extremities. I'm a King James only. Because what you did is when you say I'm a King James only, you push everybody out of your, out of anybody that you want that can listen to you. You can be a King James only person, and that's fine. But when you start saying I'm King James only, and you put your foot down and you dig down, you got a bunch of people that just walked away from you. You got NIV, you got the Living, you got all kinds of versions. You got CSB, you got ESV, you got Holman, you got Amplified, you got Revised Vision, you got a whole bunch of them. But every one of them I read says Jesus is the Son of God. And I'm going to keep reading them. And sometimes you need a little help. You need a little bit of help because some things are just, and you dig a little bit. But some biblical truths that I believe are there, and I believe God's word is, I'm going to run through these real quick, that God is the creator of the man and earth and everything in existence. I hope you believe that this morning. That Jesus is, he is who he says he is. He was and is the Son of God. That Jesus died and was resurrected. Yeah? Salvation is only by Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You've got to stand on that. That Jesus Christ is Christ and he is the Savior of the world. I also believe that God's plan for salvation is eternal. Now this is where we get into cutting in some things. Is it eternal security? Well, some people believe, well, what does that mean, eternal security? That you're going to, that once you are saved, you're always saved? Or can you lose your salvation? But regardless, salvation is eternal. That sounds like I went in some circles, but some of you know exactly what I was just talking about. Now for me, I believe eternal security. But I believe a lot of people think they're saved and they're not. But I'm not their judge. It's because you've been baptized. If your heart's not right, water don't save. That's a whole other one too. Jesus saves. You can't add anything to it. You can't add anything to it. Okay? And then also believe that God did flood the earth. That was important because God's word said it would. He said he did that. There might be some things in Genesis chapter 6 with Nephilim and all that. Nephilim, however you want to say it. It's a little tough. It's okay. That's not a doctrinal issue. Okay? Jesus did walk on the water, folks. I hope you believe that. And so did Peter for a moment. And as last week, we found out last Wednesday that donkeys don't talk, but with the power of God, donkeys can talk. Man don't walk on water, but with the power of God, a man can walk on water. There is no foolishness with God. And folks, there are angels and there are demons. Now, can a person go to heaven without believing those things? I believe if they surrender their life to Jesus Christ, but they're struggling in their biblical truths. Why? Because God's word says there's angels and there are demons. Can't pick and choose what you want. But what I want to do, share with you about, I want to talk to you a little bit more in another direction today. I want to talk to you about false doctrine. I want you to turn over to, I'm going to read it real quick and then I'm going to go stay in 1 Timothy. But 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." Folks, this was written back in this time. This was written when John wrote it, way back when. They had false prophets and false preachers. Even then, we're not going to get rid of false preachers until Jesus comes back. They're going to be here. So you have to be careful who you listen to, who you let speak into your life, who you let preach, and you listen. You have to be careful. Not everyone that preaches or teaches is preaching biblical doctrine or biblical truths. Okay? So, now, 1 Timothy. This is where we're going. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'll be going back and forth a little bit in these. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 1, or verse should be right there at the beginning. Verse 3. It says, "If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and with the teaching that promotes godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but has unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to obtain, a way to material gain." People that struggle with the doctrine, love to, the false doctrines, they love to argue. They love to dispute over things. They love to argue over and go into the weeds of things that sometimes is just wanting to get into an argument, wanting to argue over the Word of God, wanting to push things in that aren't there, pull things out that need to stay there, and they will do that. And it says that whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth. So what does that tell you? People that don't know the truth may know something about the Bible. They know enough about the Bible to make it a dangerous thing. You could not imagine some of the things that I've heard people tell me about what they believe. Like, where did you get that from? But I also know this, that some I can figure out pretty quickly. Some of them I can figure out pretty quickly by what someone teaches. I call them cults. Let me tell you, Jesus and Satan are not brothers. That's not even near biblical. It's Jesus, not Joseph. Now, some of you caught that and some of you didn't. It's not Jesus' salvation, not Joseph. If you get into that, they'll tell you that what happens is this has been tainted, this has been corrupted. No, it hasn't. Let me tell you something about that. If God can hold all the stars and the sun and the moon in place and the world, and he can turn it on what we call an axis, and he stores up the snow for whenever he wants to use it, the rain, whatever, and the hail he has at the store barns, that's the way we understand it. He has all those things. Do you not think he can keep his word? Do you not think he can keep his word to be infallible? Let's give God a little more credit than that. God can hold his word together, even through all kinds of history and trying to kill people, trying to interpret God's word and to translate God's word. God's word still thrives through. Okay? There are some other crazy beliefs out there, but we are not to believe every spirit. Just because someone says they're a preacher don't mean that they're a preacher. Just because someone says that they're a teacher don't mean they're a teacher. Pay attention. Pay attention. First Timothy chapter 4, if you flip your page back, probably you'll see it there, verse 1. It's a familiar scripture, but it says, now the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits, the teachings of demons, through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared. Huh. Teachings of deceitful spirits, which are demons. How can you believe that if you don't believe in demons? You see, when you stop believing what God's word says, you'll have a problem with a lot of scripture. You'll just keep having more problems and more problems with scripture. You'll just keep having it. 2 Timothy, I want to shoot over there real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is continuing to write to Timothy into his second letter. He says now in verse 1, but know this, hard times will come in the last days. Folks, this hard times is coming right now. Now, I don't jump on that, on the bandwagons of saying, I've heard some people say that the Lord is coming here within the next 5 years, the Lord's coming in 10. Listen, I leave that business up to the Lord. Once you start getting into that world, you're probing in areas that's not your business. We just are supposed to know the signs of the times. But even when you read the scriptures, it'll say the day is coming, the day is coming, the day is coming, because it is coming. When you think of, even if it's another 1,000 years, it is coming compared to what the world, the definition of eternity is. Anytime there's a number, it doesn't matter how high the number is, when it comes to eternity, it just shrinks to almost nothing. But he says, no, this hard times will come in the last days. You know, folks, I was not here way back when in the times of World War I and World War II. But I can imagine what those preachers were preaching. Think about it. All the countries in the world are going to war. People were hungry. People were struggling. Family members were dying on the war field, on the battlefield. And then can you imagine? World War II, it happened again. Ah, the times are coming. And times are coming. This is it. We got bigger bombs now. And then all of a sudden, they dropped two of them in Japan. And the whole world was just shocked. What bomb can do? Thousands of people died. This has got to be the end. It's got to be the end. And here we are today. The threat of nukes. The threat of things. Some of you are living in fear. Afraid of what's going to happen. Fearful. Looking in the news thinking that somebody just pushed a button. Let me remind you, God holds it all in His hand. The Pharaoh of Egypt, God can soften a heart. And in scriptures it says He can harden a heart. No one pulls a fast one on God. And let me tell you, God can allow a person can reign up to all kinds of power and be so big and almighty. And in a moment, it is just as the parable is about the man who says, I've got so much, I think I'm going to build some more barns. And the Lord says, that man's a fool. For tonight his life will be demanded. Oh, how I wish that someone in great leadership in our nation would just call a repentance to say, Father, God, we have sinned as a nation. But they're seeking power. But the kingdom of the prince of the air is Satan. He loves power. He works through people. And he works through these false preachers and these false prophets. And Paul says, know this, hard times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of self. Ooh, don't I love my selfie? I don't like that picture. I'm going to change it because I didn't look good. There it is. And then I go back and go, how many likes? I'm stressing out. Nobody liked it. Listen, so maybe I should show some cleavage. Or maybe I should show some more skin. Because I need those likes. And the world is saying, it's about you. Even we got preachers that even say, get your best life now. Listen, folks, my best life is not here. It's up there. Just like you. It's up there. It's not here. It's up there. Get my best life now. I'm going to live my life in the way that Christ wants me to live. Because I know what it was like being lost. And I know what it's like being the prodigal son. And I know what it's like getting it right with God. And I'm telling you, when you live right with God, it's always right. Even when you're short on cash. Even when you're short on money. Even when you got problems. It is better to be with God than not to be with God. It's better to be with God. But God says, if you want me, you've got to go through my son, Jesus. So many people want to get to God without going through Jesus. Folks, never, never, never forget the story of the cross. That's the gospel. It isn't the gospel of man coming to God. It's a man coming to God through Jesus Christ. He says, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Whoops, sorry. Boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents. I mean, come on. Disobedience to parents. Even if you struggle with your parents, God still expects you to give them honor. You can respect them. Even, listen, I know it's hard, but even if dad's a drunk, he's still your dad. And I know that's hard because there's women that are full grown and knows what their dad did to them. But God says you still, because why? Folks, I believe it's the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. But you don't know what they did to me. Yeah, that's called sin. Sin doesn't justify breaking what God's called us to do, even if it was done against you. but disobedient to parents, ungrateful. Boy, we have an ungrateful nation. Woo. Let me tell you, it's just not young people that's ungrateful. Even all of us can be ungrateful. I know there's a full thing about young people being entitled and all that. Listen, there's a lot of older people feeling entitled too. I'm deserving of this. I should get this. Government should do this. This and that. Listen, unholy, unloving, that's the thing. It's hard to find love today, isn't it? A genuine love. I'm not talking about that other love. I'm talking about a genuine, unloving, irreconcilable, can't get it, don't want to work things out. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding on to the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. And that doesn't mean we're not to share the gospel, but if they're unwilling to listen and they're unwilling to try to figure some things out, you got to move on. You get rid of this group of people here, and then even when they're in the church, they can really cause problems with your doctrine. This is why you have to have strong doctrine. Okay? We struggle with that. We struggle with that so much. Verse 13 says, evil people and imposters will become worse. Evil people and imposters. Imposters means someone looking like they're trying to be, they're like wearing a mask. They're identifying as something that they're not. They're coming in and they're being imposters. They become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. Listen, when you're struggling with something, go back to what the word says. If you're struggling with what some kind of thing is happening, stop. Don't move forward. Stop and say, Lord, I'm a little confused. Get your word. Lord, show me in your word. What does this have to do with me? Why do I feel pulled in this direction, but I feel like it's not, but spiritually, I feel like it's not right? The wise person will seek God, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm-hmm. And lean not on your own understanding. Yeah, in all your way. Yeah. Now, don't lean on your own understanding. Second Timothy chapter 4. He's continuing as he continues toward the end of his letter. He says in verse 3, for the time will come when people will not tolerate what? Sound doctrine. Woo! People not going to tolerate it. You know what? I have some really good friends, good pastors. There are some good preachers. There are some good churches out there that are different, some different denominations and non-denominational. Okay? I want to get that to you clear. I'm not saying Southern Baptist has it all the way straight down the line. We got our problems, folks. All you got to do is look in the news. We got our problems, right? But he says, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. Sometimes my heart says, how I want to approach this, but not be hard. But I want to... be careful when you start to look, when you're looking at doctrine and you're looking at biblical beliefs, make sure you're lining up with the Word of God. When you say, well, I don't think that means anything. I really don't think that is that important. You got to be careful of that. Your heart can get in the way of what is true. Be careful of following individuals that's got a loud mouth, very charismatic, and a bunch of followers. Not saying they're all wrong, I'm just saying be careful. People love to hear something new, and they always seem to have... Listen, this is what I've noticed on TV most of the time. Check this out. This is what I've noticed. I'm particular. I look. First of all, when they're up here, most of them don't even have this. Watch it. They don't even have one of these on the pulpit. Okay? They don't even have one. Now, if they don't have a pulpit, I'm okay. This is something that we just use to put our Bible on. They don't have to be here. You can walk around with it and preach. You can have it. But preacher needs one of these. It gets in my way. I can't. It's a distracted to me with the people. I'm trying to connect with the people. Listen, those things are an excuse not to hold this. We need this. Without this, we're not even doing the right thing today. So we have to be careful. Be careful who you just be. They got a bunch of people over there now, and they just started this church, and everybody's flocking over there. You know what? It could be something that God is doing. Don't be so critical on that either. But also be careful of the strings behind the circus tent. Listen, you don't give money to give money to give money to give money to give. No. You got to be very careful of that. And then they'll be coming in talking more. They'll be talking more. They'll be talking less about Jesus. And I've really noticed that. I've noticed that a lot in a lot of the television messages. I struggle in watching some of them now. I know which ones I think are good, but there's some on there I just really struggle. They'll use the full stage, large crowds, running around telling everybody, hey, this is what God has for you, and you got to get it because this is your moment, this is your time, this is your place, you're in your zone, this is your blessedness, plant that seed. Let me tell you something. When was it really ever about us in the first place? We're here because of Him. But He says, there's going to come a time when people's not going to want to listen to sound doctrine. Oh, that's boring. You know what I love about the hymns? I like the new songs, but you know what I love about the hymns? They got so much biblical, solid, this foundation in them. The new ones are good too. But He said they're going to multiply teachers for themselves. Because they have an itch to hear. And you know who's behind that? Satan's behind that. He doesn't care what you do, how you do it, as long as you don't put your focus on Jesus. And He doesn't care how you do it. But He says, they will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to turn away. They're going to turn away from the truth. Listen, folks, there are people that I love some of the people that used to come here. But some of them, man, and some of you, this is why it's slow for me to put people in leadership. This is why it's slow for me. Some people think I'm slow, but listen, I saw some of them. I wasn't judging on how, you know, everybody, I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about judging them in the sense of like, oh, I heard them say something they shouldn't said or they did it. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they leave the church. And they never attend. I say, I hope you go to find a church that fits you. And then they don't. And they lay out. And they become critical of the church. Let me tell you, be careful how you talk about the church. It is the bride of Christ. Would you like someone talking about your bride? Don't talk about my bride. She has her flaws, but I'll call those out, not you. And I have my flaws. And I don't think she wants to hear you call them out. She'll call them out to me. And I don't think Jesus wants us to talk about the bride. And He gave His life for the bride. Did you? No. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful. He says, but as for you, his encouragement to Timothy is, but as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. So exercise the control in everything. Watch your step. You got to watch your step. Stay solid. Okay? Stay solid. And then he says, endure the hardship. Because it's hard sometimes to do the right thing. And you know it's the right thing, but sometimes it can be hard because it's just the way it is. Listen, Satan works against those who are trying to do God's will. Those who are out not doing God's will, he's already got them. It's already working through them. So he wants to mess up you He wants you to stumble. But he says this, fulfill your ministry. He says, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. We have a ministry here. It's not just one thing. It's not two things. It's to do the will of God. And God put a vision and mission in front of us, and we are called to do those things. We are called to stay the course and stay solid and stand firm in the Word. And we have to do that by knowing that there is a part of doctrines which we didn't get individually into these, but we need to know, except for the one, that we need to know these things on this list that we were talking about. Who is God here as we worship? Who is Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? When we baptize, this is what we do. We don't baptize just in Jesus' name or just in the Holy Spirit. We baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's what Jesus said to do. Yeah, but these scriptures over here said, no, wait a minute. We're talking about this scripture right here. We'll get to those, but let's talk about this one right here. A lot of people just want to run off and go to these other ones, and I get that. But this one is, it just throws it right out. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now we understand that concept, that doctrinal piece is strong. Then we can go out here and start wrestling with these other scriptures. That's why Bible study is very important. That's why sound teaching is very, very important. Now every one of you have a belief. And we might believe in a few things different. But I'm asking you today on a couple of them. One, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God and who He says He is? Do you believe that He died and 3 days later rose again, was resurrected, and walked upon the earth, showing Himself to many, 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 many people? You believe that salvation comes by no other except Jesus Himself. Do you believe this is God's Word? You know, this is the most precious gift outside of Jesus that God gave us right here. This right here tells us where we come from, tells us how to live life, tells us we're sinners, tells us there's a way to get through it, how to get through it, tells us about a future that's more than we can understand, but to give us enough to go, wow. You know what? I love Him. And I hope you love Him too. And when I got saved, I knew nothing about doctrine. Because when you're lost and you're young, God just says, come on, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Call upon the Lord and thou shalt be saved. It's about salvation. It's about being a baby in Christ. It's about coming to Christ. But somewhere in there, after that, I started attending church and I started hearing sound doctrine. What is that? Then I seen preachers fireballing it. Getting excited, you know. I can stand up here and try to learn how to say, and the Lord said, you know, I've been a part of that. I can get over here and I can do different things or bring out little tokens and things and kind of shine up the altar a little bit to get people to pay more attention to those. I've done a little bit of all those a little bit, but I'm going to tell you, that's just preference. Oh, I like a preacher that preaches with some fire and brimstone. What is that person really telling me? That's their preference. I get it. I like to hear somebody else preaching about Jesus and heaven and hell. And yeah, and there is a, and folks, we didn't talk about that, but there is a hell. Okay? But all that is preference. And I can get as loud as we want. But if I'm not preaching Jesus, I'm preaching the wrong thing. They have cowboy churches where people dress up like cowboys I don't say they dress up like cowboys. They're cowboys, and they go to church like cowboys do. They have churches in other countries that do different things than we do. I've seen the military worship in different ways. All I know is ones I've talked to, and those we all have this one thing in common: Jesus. They just want to keep getting closer to Jesus. They want to keep working on the relationship with Jesus. And when you start working on your relationship with Jesus, what you'll find is once you get done, you're through your baptism, your salvation, your baptism, you've done some communion, you've understood, and you're starting to understand that more, and you start growing in your walk. Basically, what you get to is God saying, it's time to keep maturing because I've given you gifts, spiritual gifts. I've got calling on your life, whatever it may be. And you do that and you follow that. But listen, you got to have sound doctrine if you're going to make it and fulfill your ministry and fulfill and finish your life. As he can say, well done, and good and faithful servant. You can't do it without sound doctrine. It's not boring. Some people think, oh, no, we're talking. No, it's not boring. It is the Word of God. So I don't know where you are today, but I hope that you have a desire to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope today that you might have a desire to want to read His Word more, to have a hunger saying, I'm expected to read His Word. I'm expected to grow up in the name of the Lord. I'm expected to grow up. I'm no longer a baby in the family. Maybe now that you're a teenager in the family, but now maybe you have to be an adult. Maybe you're an elder in the family, whatever it may be. A patriarch, a monarch. You know what those are? Those are the Christians that are strong, and usually they're older, and family people come to them and go, I have some question about the Bible. They came to you because they trust you. They came to you because you have biblical wisdom and you have biblical knowledge, and you got some bruises and some cuts and wounds from living your Christian life. Folks, we need more of those. And you don't get those by age. You get those by living your life out for Jesus. So we're going to go ahead and stand. Let's do that right now. Let's stand up. Let's give a moment, a time where if you want to come this morning, you want to come and you want to pray, and our altars are always open.